Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thank you for coming back to a very special edition of the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined by Jim Scher, who's, I don't even know what the right word to describe this momentous effort and news and opportunity for the sport of lacrosse is, but the simplest way to explain is on Friday at the Tokyo meeting of the IOC Executive Board, the world learned that the FIL, alongside two other sports, received provisional recognition from the IOC, which creates a lot of opportunities for the game. But first, Mr. Scher, congratulations on leading this process. Can you describe how it unfolded over, say, the last year to get to this point?
Well, it's been a very time-intensive and laborious process for the International Federation. It really started probably in the early 2000s when the men and women contemplated merging and then merged in 08. And then I think a little over 3 years ago applied to the IOC for full recognition after having been recognized by the International World Games Association, Sport Accord, and AIMS, which is organizations that are precursors, and you had to be recognized by them first. So a lot of work by the leaders of both the Women's International Lacrosse Federation, the ILF in the day, and then now the combined entity, the FIL. So kudos to them and all the work that they've put in for many, many years. I think the last year was one of, a very nervous time because IOC is always a very political organization, and they had a lot on their plate from the Russian Olympic Committee and the anti-doping issues with Russia, participation in the games in Korea by North Korea, and just some very fundamental challenges to the movement, and including the bidding process for Los Angeles and Paris, which Paris ended up winning 2024, and Los Angeles was awarded 2028. So there was a lot going on. So we were dodging between a lot of big, fast-moving ships, trying to make sure that we were still on the IOC's radar screen and support our efforts to be recognized, but also the IOC decided within the last year that it was going to take a look at overhauling this entire process by which they recognize international federations and send it back to the drawing board. So we, in essence, needed to be approved, but also to be approved before the process was sent back to the drawing board, which could have taken another year and a half or 2 years when our efforts to move forward would have been stymied. But we were able to, I think, with some strong influencers as well as a strong program of just getting out there and politicking as an international federation, and then continuing to reinforce our application and the progress we were making as an international federation to the IOC Sports Department and the Executive Board. We were thankfully approved in Tokyo at the IOC ED meetings, which was an incredibly gratifying moment for everybody associated with international lacrosse, and particularly the leaders of the organization.
So what did you hear from the IOC throughout this process that gave either some hope that it would ultimately come to a positive resolution, or in the wake of the recognition, why the FIL received recognition?
Certainly, the International Federation had met all of the criteria that the IOC had required of an IF to be recognized. We had continued to work with the Sports Department to update our application. But I think there were a lot of other things politically happening within the IOC besides whether or not we had met the criteria and whether or not we were doing our job to support our application. And so we were very fortunate that we had an opportunity and we were able to kind of dart through here, and the IOC Exec Board recognized lacrosse here.
I think there's this vision that the FIL board was sitting in a draft, NFL draft style war room. And then when you got the news, there was a lot of fist pumping. In fact, I think it was really early in the morning when a lot of folks found out. What was the reaction among the stakeholders with whom you've been in, I would assume, pretty regular communication? And how was it shared? And can you describe the mood or vibe?
Well, obviously the mood was just incredible exhilaration and sense of accomplishment, and really everyone was overjoyed to receive this news from the IOC. And we had a couple of consultants that were representing the International Federation in Tokyo who were providing us very frequent updates. We had put together a video to support the application in the last couple of hours before it went before the executive board, and we were in close contact with the IOC staff and others regarding the application. But as we had known in the past, there's no guarantee. It could have been set aside on the agenda, or it could have been voted down. And so I and others kind of turned in for the night very, very late and got up very, very early. But I think it was probably 4 or 5 in the morning Central Time in the U.S. when the decision was made, and then was communicated out shortly after. And then Ron Bowles, Secretary General, communicated it to the board within a few minutes. And as people awoke in that morning or in their afternoon in Europe, everybody was was pretty much all connected via email or via phone, and very, very excited.
So I think lacrosse fans need to hear or read a little bit more about what exactly this provisional recognition period means. So how do you describe it?
Well, the provisional is purely because the exec board does not have the authority to provide full recognition. That's the entire IOC session. And the IOC wants to see over this time period, whether it's 1, 2, or 3 years, that we're following all of the criteria that they've set forward to be recognized, and the sports department will continue to evaluate us, and then we would anticipate that we would receive full recognition sometime in the near future, over the next year or two. But it is a significant accomplishment for the organization because it means just that, that the IOC has recognized that we meet all of their criteria. The IOC has welcomed us into the family of Summer Olympic International Sport Federations. We are now an official member of the movement, and as such, we have this recognition from the IOC. We can use the IOC marks to support our programming. We're eligible for funding from the IOC and grants from the IOC, and we are invited now to all the meetings of the International Olympic Committee that are available for Summer Olympic International Federations. Our president will be accredited for the Olympic Games, so we're now in the mix, and we're there, and we are present at all meetings of the Olympic family. So that in itself is incredibly significant. The opportunity for funding is significant, and both there's annual funding and opportunity for development funds. But I think most importantly, it gives us now an opportunity to be included in the Olympic Games, because you have to be first recognized before you can be included in the Games. And now we have that opportunity as a recognized sport to apply for the host city proposal process, either for Paris or for Los Angeles, and the opportunity to be considered and included in the Games. And that is the most significant piece of this news for the lacrosse family. Absent that, we were not eligible for inclusion in the Games.
You've spoken previously about how the host committee's selection capacity has evolved this process, and in my estimation, increased the likelihood that lacrosse could be included in Olympic Games. So now that this hurdle of recognition has been cleared, how do you change your focus and set your sights on inclusion? Certainly, the conversation has suggested that 2028 in LA is more likely. How do you regard both the possibility of the 24 games in Paris and the likelihood of the 28 games in LA and beyond?
Great question. I think Paris is a little bit early for us, and certainly not a country that is a lacrosse hotbed. It's developing, and will continue to develop, but certainly as of now, not a sport that really is going to impact, you know, their host city and how they organize the games. However, we do believe, as you stated, that Los Angeles is an incredible opportunity due to the strength of lacrosse in the United States and North America and what we think we would bring to that games. And this opportunity now we recognize really gives us the ability to kind of officially enter the fray and announce our attempts and candidacy to be included in Los Angeles and you know, get out there more aggressively and begin to build both our product and the sport as we have been, but also begin to politic more aggressively for inclusion in Los Angeles. So a big step in that way, because before, without recognition, we were getting ahead of ourselves a little bit to really lobby for inclusion in the LA games.
One of the things that I've written extensively and spoken extensively about since my perspective on both the value and likelihood of lacrosse's inclusion in the Olympics has changed was the fact that the game or games that are currently played are not perfect fits for the structure, the infrastructure that's in place at the Olympics. And my argument has been that because lacrosse has this rich history of different peoples all across North America playing different versions of a stick, ball, and goal game, combined with this modern evolution of men's field, women's field, and indoor lacrosse being three distinct versions, and then those versions within them having a lot of distinctions themselves. Again, my argument has been that it's fair and justifiable to develop the game in a way that does fit that IOC infrastructure. And we've started to see movement in that direction, particularly by U.S. lacrosse, most recently with a pair of exhibitions with the U.S. women's national team in Florida in front of the IWLCA President's Cup. And now that, again, this hurdle of recognition has been cleared and the projects that exist and have existed beyond that hurdle can take more primary focus, how do you see this going? How do you see what I've called the development of Olympic lacrosse unfolding?
Well, I think without question, lacrosse needs to look at the development of a discipline that it puts forward to the Olympic Games. Now, we know for certain that the IOC and the host organizing committee are very concerned about the total number of competitors and total number of support staff. So we can say that there's no question that smaller is significantly better in the IOC. A game that has a shorter game duration is critical. A game that moves very quickly without much game stoppage is very important. And one that is very easily broadcast with an attractive, that is very attractive for broadcast. And so those are the principles that we're looking at. Steve Sanderson has been fantastic, is leading an internal group called the Blue Skies Working Group. It's a little bit premature to announce what they're, where they are now. However, those trials are part of that process. At the end of the day, we'll continue to trial in these smaller sided disciplines and see where the membership lands on an Olympic discipline. And I think if you look at rugby sevens, that's a great example for us. The 15s will always be you know, the flagship of rugby internationally, but rugby sevens and the games has an incredible benefit for rugby around the world, as well as, in its own right, a very viable discipline underneath the rugby union banner of sports. And the Rugby Sevens World Cup Series is an incredibly popular and almost surpassing the Rugby Union 15s World Cup. So it's been a interesting to look at their example as well. And then other sports like 3-on-3 basketball now a discipline of the game. So we're looking at others. We're also taking our cues from the IOC, but I think what you've outlined is smaller numbers, shorter game duration, very quick moving game with limited game stoppage, smaller field, more easily broadcast, more attractive television product is what we're aiming to do. And I'm certainly excited to be on that path.
Direct follow-up. How important is both the player's safety, health and safety concern, and how important is the men's and women's discipline being as similar as possible? Where do those two priorities fall in the eye of the eyes of the IOC?
I can tell you in meeting with IOC members and the IOC sports department, you know, they are absolutely zero in on any differences between men and women, because gender equity is critically important at the International Olympic Committee level. And they certainly want the games to be 50-50. They also want any differences to be to have very clear explanations. So, one, we want to make sure that the disciplines move as close together as possible. And two, we want to make sure that if there are any differences, they can be explained in a rational manner that will be accepted by the IOC. Having said that, safety and player safety is certainly job one and a foremost consideration. And, you know, field size and tree size and ball velocity and you know, protective equipment are all critical considerations that the group is looking at.
One of the things that I noticed in reaction to this news last week on social media was this belief that if there wasn't really high level competition for gold, silver, and bronze, it was almost as if lacrosse wasn't ready for the Olympics. So basically the argument is that the U.S. and Canada and the Iroquois, which is a separate issue that we'll get to in a moment, are so much more competitive with one another than the rest of the field, then lacrosse isn't ready for the Olympic stage. I don't accept that argument, but I'm curious as to how you react to it.
It is an important consideration at the IOC that we have a worldwide sport. We have a large number of member nations competing around the world, and that the spread of competitive excellence happens, meaning more countries have an opportunity to medal. Lacrosse still has a ways to go there. I don't think it would impede our opportunity in Los Angeles, but I think long-term ways to continue to focus on. But I also think that it has narrowed, still has a ways to go. But also, if lacrosse goes to a smaller sided game, I think that in and of itself will allow more nations the opportunity to compete at a higher level. So I think that will be good for the argument as well.
In addition to which, my argument has been that providing an Olympic opportunity incentivizes both increased investment on an institutional side as well as on an athlete's side to take lacrosse seriously and get better.
Yes, and one of the things we didn't discuss on Olympic recognition is it gives all of our member nations now an opportunity to be recognized or affiliated in some way with their national Olympic committees. And it varies by country and national Olympic committees, but the opportunity for our federations around the world to get government support or national Olympic support has just increased exponentially. And then should be included in the games, that completely changes that ball game, and there's certainly a lot more funding available. But I think this whole effort will in terms of the capabilities of our member nations really serve to elevate their capability and their competitiveness on the field of play over time.
And then I mentioned an issue that I think there was a lot of very smart commentary on, which is lacrosse is special and in some instances unique among North American sport or global sport in the way in which it relates to a population and a spirituality that to this point doesn't have the same representation at the global sports stage. My argument has been that over the last 32 years, lacrosse has been an instrument or a part of the increased development and integration of the Iroquois Confederacy within at least the population of people who know and understand the game of lacrosse. And so I think there's the prospect of extending that by virtue of the FIL's recognition of the IOC, but I will concede that that could be, you know, totally ambitious thinking. So broadly, how do you regard the issue of, you know, a meddling team, a team that medals, who is so closely tied to the origin of the sport, not on the surface appearing to be eligible to play on the Olympics, were nothing to change between now and when the game was able to be played for the first time?
Great question. It's not unique in the sports world. It is unique in that, you know, the game has origin, has its origins in North America and with the you know, First Nations. So it's a bit unique that way. However, you know, Scotland and Wales are not eligible for participation in the Olympic Games as separate countries. And the IOC has a rule since 1996, which states very clearly that you know, to participate in the Games, you have to be participating for a recognized National Olympic Committee. Recognized National Olympic Committees have to correspond to an independent member state that is recognized as an independent member state by the rest of the world. So Wales, Scotland, the Faroe Islands, and others who don't have a corresponding National Olympic Committee then have to compete for recognized National Olympic Committees that do exist. And the Iroquois right now would not be eligible for participation in the Olympic Games, given the IOC's current rules. Now, clearly, if we were to be included in Olympic Games, we would have a discussion with the IOC about that and whether or not they would be willing to recognize the Iroquois and allow them to compete. However, you know, there are a whole host of you know, peoples and countries that would like to be recognized by the IOC who aren't. So it would be difficult for lacrosse to move that needle by itself for the International Olympic Committee. But certainly we're concerned about the Iroquois. The Iroquois will always be an incredibly important part of lacrosse and a participant in our world games. And we'll see what we can do to petition on their behalf with the International Olympic Committee should we be included in the games. Again, a very complex issue at the IOC level.
Would there be a distinction between, and is there still a distinction between competitive sports versus exhibition sports and how that would theoretically correspond with
There is no longer that distinction. So if you're included as a host city sport, you have full medal rights and you're fully in the games. You are just in the games for that edition, but you are a full medal sport and not an exhibition sport.
Got it. And then to the point about this rule having been instituted in 1996, there are member nations such as Hong Kong who
Puerto Rico, Hong Kong, Taiwan, others that predate the 96 rule.
Got it. It's a, to your point, very complex issue. And my argument is, like you say, the opportunity to develop or change or at least consider and examine these bylaws wouldn't have been available absent this step having been taken. And as a result, you know, I guess I would put it this way. Several years ago, when the idea of Olympic lacrosse was brought up, many folks scoffed. Well, those folks probably aren't scoffing anymore. And so the same folks who would potentially scoff at the notion of the Iroquois Confederacy competing at the Olympic Games should at least take into consideration the fact that this project was completed. And certainly there are different circumstances and considerations, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible. And to my point, that's part of the journey. It's part of why you do it.
Yeah, this is a great milestone for the sport. Everybody should be proud that the sport and the International Federation are now recognized by the movement, and the sport is worthy of that recognition. It's now on the path towards Olympic inclusion. A lot of work to go. A very difficult process, but you know, we're there. We're gonna work our as hard as we possibly can and as intelligently as we can to make it happen. And I think it's there's a good opportunity. And so I'm very pleased to be on this journey and just really very excited feel a great sense of pride for those people who have put in the work for many, many years to get filled to this level and the sport to this level. So really feel happy for those people and this accomplishment. And now we're on the journey to the next one. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's going to get more exciting as we go.
Well, Jim Scher, we appreciate your time and your appearance on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Always enjoy speaking with you, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the time.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.